Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton, your Twitter award winning. We forgot to mention that.
Yeah,
last
we didn't mention
week.
That last time. Yeah.
Scottcast, that's right. The home of the division champion, Chicago Bears. Home of the either two or three seed in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah,
depending on the results of this very strange upcoming weekend.
Jacob Infante, young lad, does a lot of draft coverage, Bears draft stuff. For Windy City Gridiron and other places. Really good draft stuff. Read his stuff every year. He does a Twitter poll every year on Bears Twitter to poll favorite podcast, favorite this, favorite that. Not only did we tie with Hogan John, so eat that, pair of Adams, for favorite podcast.
You know they fucking saw it, too.
I personally won favorite fan Twitter account. So
hell yeah.
And a free and fair election, greatest numbers anyone's ever seen. The numbers are beautiful. We don't question them. Are saying
definitely nothing. Nobody ran in there and stuffed the ballot box. I'm sure nobody in the Scott Corps did anything.
Chicago sports podcast. So vote early, vote often, folks. That's what we believe. Anyways, thank you guys for voting for us. So that was fun. That was cool. Yeah. And we're talking about the division winning Chicago Bears. So, and that the Green Bay Packers, God bless them. They did us a solid, you know, by getting absolutely fucking murdered by Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry was a fucking bowling ball, Travis.
They wanted no part of him.
Of Derrick Henry. And so with the Bears clinching the division, I tell you what, that really took all of the stress out of these last two games for me. And that was great because it was really, really fun to just, I know the Bears came up short. We'll get into that. But like, it was really fun to just enjoy that shootout for what it was, which was two of the best offenses in the NFC going blow for blow. And the Bears just ran out of time. But man, and we won't call that Caleb Williams coming out party because you and I, folks, he been out. He came out of that closet weeks ago.
Allegedly, he came out as straight this week too.
what is her name? Ash? Ascash?
Yeah. It's something. Some fucking Instagram name that's not her actual name.
Yeah. Ass cash or grass? None rides with the Lord for free.
That's right.
Anyways, we've been saying for weeks. I mean, it feels really fucking good for God. How many? You go back to the October Scottcast episodes where we were just sitting here like. Caleb's he's doing the things, folks, and the results will eventually follow. And I know people got annoyed because they're ready to throw rocks at our head because we said it for like 7 weeks in a row, but I'm like, there will come a day when we will get to the fireworks factory, and we've been there. We had obviously the awesome game-winning touchdown against the Packers to ride right into just a game where Caleb was flawless. I know the completion percentage, someone's going to mention it, but mostly because he had a couple drops, a couple throwaways, but like he was outstanding all game long. Did his best game in his career so far, not in every category, but as far as I feel like identifying the blitz quickly and hitting his checkdowns and his hots really fast, which was a good adjustment because, you know, they played the Packers and I thought in their first game without Parsons, the Bears were kind of the testing ground for the Packers having to figure out, oh shit, how do we get home without being able to just rush four every time? And so they threw a lot of different pressure looks at the Bears, and I thought Ben and Caleb early didn't always have a lot of answers. The 49ers, those first two drives, same thing. Ben felt like he kind of went with a block it up, hunt deep approach to the blitzes like he's been doing, and they just weren't blocking it up well. And so as after the second drive, he's like, all right, if we think a blitz is coming, throw the hot. And he built in some more answers that way. And I thought Caleb did a great job. There was one, no matter what Chris Collinsworth said, it's not a fucking easy throw. The little fadeaway throw to Duvernay that he missed. I'm not mad that he missed that throw because no matter what Collinsworth said, that's not a fucking easy throw. Even for Caleb, he's got two defenders sprinting free at him. He's falling backwards. It's a tough throw, but I do wish Caleb had seen it just a little bit earlier and maybe gotten it to Duvernay before he had to backpedal. But good friend of the Discord or good friend of the Scottcast, Robert Schmitz was breaking it down too. And he's like, I'm not that upset that he didn't see Duvernay faster. Cause I don't think there's any reasonable reason for Caleb to have expected one of those guys to blitz, and I don't think he has to be immediately looking pre-snap at Duvernay as the hot. So, you know, just a good defensive call by the 49ers. But yeah, I mean, Caleb was perfect. 5 for 5 for, I think, 120-some yards on deep passes. What a hilarious dead narrative. Let's talk about the dead Caleb Williams narratives, Travis, shall we? Yeah. Which dead Caleb Williams narrative do you want to start with?
Yeah, I think during the game, and I've just been thinking about it this all week, has been that it's almost like Caleb made a checklist of all the things we had, like little drawbacks about him earlier in the season, things that we thought he was doing so well, things that we thought he could really improve on.
Well, and we know
Deep Caleb balls is one of them, and boy,
we know Caleb hears criticism, and we know he's dying to clap back. So I guarantee you, I would bet through sheer force of will that kid has a higher completion percentage next year, because if we're fucking tired of hearing about Caleb Williams completion, I can only imagine how fucking tired Caleb Williams is of hearing about it. But yeah, I the deep passes. So I was looking this up after to start on. I set the filter to a minimum of, I believe, 40 deep attempts this season, because as the dear Panthers fans who've been arguing about with me for the last 24 hours about Bryce Young, one of the things I hit on with draft prospects is, if you have a guy who has a 60% or greater deep completion percentage, I guarantee you have a guy who is not taking enough deep shots, because people always love to harp like Bryce Young, top 5 PFF grade on deep passing attempts, and he's got great adjusted completion percentage. And then you look and he's thrown like 20 of them all year. Yeah. This is, we talk about this with draft prospects. If you have a guy that's got a sparkling deep completion percentage, and then you look and he has a below average attempt percentage, that's actually not good. That is a guy who's the exact opposite of a good deep passer. That is a guy who only takes deep shots when he's got a guy with clear several steps of separation. And that happens very rarely in the NFL. That's how you get to week 17, week 18, and you've only attempted 20 of those passes all year. Yeah. Caleb, among all guys who has at least 40 deep attempts, is 5th in PFF grade on deep throws, and he is 5th in adjusted completion percentage on those deep throws. And that's with him, I believe, having actually the most deep attempts of anybody in the NFL this year, or at least, or the second most. He's gone deep a lot. He has set that narrative to bed. The sacks alone. He didn't take for two straight games. For the first time since 2005, when the Bears were what, Travis? What were they doing in 2005?
I don't. I was a fucking. I was a sophomore in high school at that
2005,
point?
When the Bears were starting Kyle Orton. You missed the goddamn setup.
I did. I wasn't ready for that at all.
You son of a bitch.
My cat is trying to open a drawer so she can sleep.
How dare you ruin my bits with your menagerie. When they were starting, first time since the Bears were starting Kyle Orton in 2005 that they have gone two straight games without giving up a single sack. So Caleb has 23 sacks in 16 games. Absolutely. 68 last year to 23. Crazy turnaround there. He's put that narrative in. And then of course Caleb himself shot back on this one. The big narrative was that he couldn't play under center. He couldn't turn his back to the defense. He couldn't do under center play action. He was never going to work with Ben Johnson, and he's been one of the league's best and most productive starters on under center play action all year long. I mean, everything really came together for Caleb in that game. You saw this is the game you've been waiting for. You really did get a little bit of everything, because he also had the off schedule scramble throw to Burden that was just fucking insane. You had the Aaron Rodgers free play touchdown to Colston Loveland. You had the beautiful deep ball to Burton in structure, out of structure. He took his checkdowns a couple times. He found his hot. There were a lot of checkdowns with Yak in that game because Caleb was playing on time and in rhythm. It was just the perfect national TV showcase for our boy. But as we've been trying to say, he's been there for a while. This was just perfect opportunity of where the box score and everything all lined up, and his receivers didn't let him down, except a couple drops late that were very painful and burned some clock that they really needed. But yeah, awesome game by Caleb. Awesome game by the offense just in general. You got anything you want to say about Caleb before we start spanking it over Luther Burden and Colston Loveland?
Yeah, you mentioned that it kind of seems like he's been building everything and putting it all together. You could tell these deep passes. One of the things he was doing earlier in the season, it felt like he was just letting everything rip as hard as he could. And he has obviously a very strong arm. He can get the ball where it needs to go really quickly. But we saw a lot of drops. And in some cases it was because Caleb's just, he's got an absolute rocket attached to his shoulder. And he was throwing it through guys, and these guys were not able to catch those passes. At about halfway through that Eagles game, Caleb started to say, you know what? I could throw a little touch on these passes. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was Ben. Maybe it was something that just clicked with him, but he started to do it in that game. And throughout every game since then, he has been adding that little touch, a little more feather to the passes when he needs
the
to.
One...
When he goes deep. We saw it with Nashawn, or not Nashawn, I keep calling him Nashawn. The Nashawn Wright of the offense, Jahdae Walker,
that...
in the corner.
That might have been, I don't know, there's like five different throws that I probably told my wife this week, who's very tired of hearing about how awesome Caleb Williams is. I was like, that might have been my favorite. But like the timing and just the placement of that ball to Jahdae on that third down, that is a pass.
Yep.
That earlier this year, last year, he fires that way too hard. And it's a never, as JT O'Sullivan calls it, a never in history ball that goes well into out of bounds. So to see him play it out on time, back foot, bop, that was gorgeous. The throw to Loveland on the wheel that he
took. I mean, that throw was a whole different
handoff. Like, I just, God, you just,
that,
there's just
that
not
throw
a lot
to Loveland is in another stratosphere. That's a throw that, I mean, we say this about Caleb. He does this two or three times a game, but it's one of those passes. They're only like three, maybe four guys in the NFL who can make that pass.
We'll get this into a minute when we get to talk about the defense and fears in the playoffs. And I intend to raise my standards after this year, folks. I really do. But like for me, for the journey that we've been on as Bears fans in my lifetime, to watch Caleb Williams have a game like that, I can't even be mad about anything, that they lost the game, etc. The defense was dog shit, because I'm just like, holy fucking shit. We have that guy. Look what he's doing. Yeah. I'm so
it was
giddy.
Really incredible.
Like, I don't know
but
what
yeah, the deep pass to Luther Burden that happened earlier in the game is what I was leading into there. That is really a combination of him figuring out that he can throw touch onto a pass, nailing down the timing of the offense that he didn't have earlier in the season, and then easing into a deep throw in a way that he wasn't doing earlier in the season. And even on that pass, Luther, I think, thought, well, I'm just going to kind of go to the front corner of the end zone, the front left corner. That's where he was on trajectory for. And Caleb was like, nah, buddy, you got him. Like, we're going a little bit deep. You're going to get behind this guy. I trust you. You trust me. And that's what he did. The pass was perfect. It went right over the safety.
That's the thing, the chemistry that he and Luther have already. It's just, one week after he was the hero, I'm not going to dump on the guy. God knows, if you guys have the Patreon, if you have JT O'Sullivan, if you have quarterback school, if you want to hear a guy get mad at DJ Moore for an hour and a half after that game, he'll help you. I'm not going to do it. I'll just say that, like, when we've been talking about the DJ Moore chemistry all year long, when you see Burden come in and it's just so effortless, and he knows what Caleb's thinking, and Caleb knows what he's thinking, and he's right where Caleb expects him to be, and he's always getting yards after the catch, like... That is a Luther Burden is a special, special player, man. Like, I know a lot of people are talking about how since 2014 he's one of the top rookie wide receivers of all time in yards per route run in his rookie season. And
Collinsworth breaking out yards per route run on air. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say yards per route run.
Yeah, we're not going to title this episode "Fuck You, Chris," because I thought Collinsworth had some good moments. It was kind of funny that he did seem to ride Caleb really hard on a couple incompletions that drove me nuts. And again, that was, I've talked about this a couple times. It's the Caleb Williams paradox, where it's like, simply because he is occasionally capable of absolutely insane throws, he gets graded more negatively for attempting them and missing them than a guy who doesn't even try them would. Like, those two balls that he is fleeing and fading away from the blitz, that he misses, that he dirts, that left a little short, that Collinsworth was just all over his ass on. You know what happens to Jared Goff on those plays, folks? He dies. He's sacked. The play is over, and Collinsworth saying, well, there's nothing he can do about that there. And it doesn't change his opinion of Jared Goff one bit. But because Caleb is technically capable, because we've seen him make those throws sometimes, anytime he misses, people are mad. And you get guys like the Bo Nix and Michael Penix, and the lowered expectations that those guys had, anything they do, just they praise gets fawned on them, because it's like, well, I expect you to be total shit, and look at you. You didn't even poop on yourself that play. This guy could be something. And Caleb, it's the Gordon Ramsay, the the oh, you fucking donkey meme, where it's like the contrast. It's just that's how they treat Caleb, where it's like, yeah, I know he's capable of miracles, but like, it's okay that sometimes the defense got a good blitz, they got a free rusher, and he's fading away and he can't quite get enough on it. That'll happen even to him. It's happened even to Patrick Mahomes. So I'm not going to go off on Collinsworth sometimes, but some of those throws were not as easy as he was trying to make it sound.
Yeah, the sack avoidance has almost become easy to take for granted now. In this game, he's starting to make it look so easy. I mean, not even easy. It's becoming subtle. It's fading into the background. He slides out of the way. He finds his hot so quickly, or he runs, and it's always the right decision.
Well, it's gotten to the point that when he finally went down for a sack, like 2-3 weeks ago, or like 3 weeks ago, I was so surprised. I was like, I didn't know you could still do that. And like Scottcaster Emeritus Eric is like, he's mentioned now, he's like, every time I watch a game that isn't a Bears game and I'm watching a quarterback and he takes a sack, I'm just like, well, why didn't you just spin around and evade that guy? And that's what Caleb would have done. He's like, I forget that that's just not normal. So
here's something I liked from Caleb in this game that may have not been talked about a lot. First time I've seen Caleb spins, gets away from a sack. He's rolling left in this game. Nobody's getting open. He throws it away. And finally, Caleb blows up at a wide receiver for not moving his ass and getting open.
That's something that
Thank you, Caleb. You need to do that more,
I feel like he's reached the point where he feels like he's established himself enough as the leader that he can start getting on guys' asses, too, instead of just leaving it to Ben Johnson, which is good to see. Yeah, I mean, there was also the delay of game. You could tell after they got that one delay of game in the red zone, he was extremely pissed at his offensive lineman for taking too damn long to get down the field. And this is something JT O'Sullivan pointed out, too. It's like, he's like, one thing that you, as a quarterback, you have to learn in that situation is in the NFL, after a big, like 40-yard gain, you have less play clock than you think, because you have to account for like 10 seconds of the big guys chugging their butts down the field before you even get there. And he's like, so you got to move them a little quicker. But you could tell Caleb was very frustrated that they didn't get going faster there. So yeah, I like to see him get a little fired up. I like to see him take a little effort there. But speaking of back to Luther Burden and the chemistry, the dart. Notice how perfectly Burden ran the scramble drill on that dart from him to what does he do? He immediately figures out what's happening. He comes back to the ball. He even makes a nice sliding catch to protect him. Perfect response.
You know who else had a beautiful response on a scramble drill? Theo Benedict throwing up the mailbox, throwing two 49ers to him, opening up Colston Loveland downfield. What a dude. Incredible play on review to see Theo just like, send it up!
The first Packers game in Lambeau, that touchdown that Caleb floated to Loveland, the first read on that play was Theo, but he got collisioned and they knocked him over, but it should have been a penalty.
Right.
And so, like, Theo's you know Theo is just dying for that fucking touchdown.
I'm wide open, man.
It's got to happen at some point. Like, he's dying for that catch.
49ers respected the shit out of Theo Benedict being open on that play.
As you should. Proper respect to the Canadian Eagles. But yeah, I mean, do we want to say anything else about Luther Burden other than that he's just fucking amazing? Like,
I have a lot to say about Luther Burden. Like, I mean, most of my thoughts go down during the week, but obviously I love Luther Burden coming into the draft. If we go back to, before draft
I'm
night,
very,
you asked me the question. You said, hey, what if we just use that pick on Luther Burden at 10? And I said, hell yeah.
Two things that I'm very proud of are on the live Scottcast draft. You could go back and we can say, you can hear us say, if they do take a tight end, it better be Colston Loveland. And you can hear us say, that I'd be fine if they just took Luther Burden at 10. That's the best wide receiver.
Take Luther Burden at 10.
In this draft, And thank you once again to the Green Bay Packers. I'm thanking them for the second time this episode.
Yeah.
You guys took track star Michael Golden, left us
to Matthew wide receiver, Golden, but I appreciate that you're getting
his
name
and
wrong.
And thank you to all my friends with the Carolina Panthers who've been arguing with me all day about your boy Bryce Young. I'm glad, I guess, that you're happy with him, because thanks to him, I got my franchise quarterback that I watched torch the San Francisco 49ers. I got my franchise right tackle that I watched bulldoze the 49ers. I got DJ Moore, who is also appearing in this film.
Uh-huh.
I got
I
got who else? Tyreek Stevenson.
Tyreek Stevenson
was, I think, their least burnt corner. Sunday night. And, you know, and the final piece of the pie, we got Luther Burden. So thank you for all of that.
It's beginning to look... I mean, it's been beginning to look for a while, but now it's really crystallizing into maybe the worst trade in NFL history in terms of the actual players who ended up coming to the Bears and going to the Panthers.
Yeah, it's pretty
absolutely unfathomably imbalanced in favor of the Bears. But yeah, Luther Burden, he is so noticeable on film. The second you watch anything from the all 22 angle, from the big robot in the sky, it's like, holy shit, who is that? Well, that guy is owning the game by himself.
And he's coming off an ankle injury. I was worried he was going to be a little stiff or something. Just fucking nothing. Tore him a new asshole all day long.
And Kyle, had mentioned comparisons to Jackson Smith and Jigba, and pretty similar. Like, dudes whose 40 times did not tell you how fast they were, how good they were at separating. Guys whose last years in college, for one reason or another, caused them to fall in the draft and get kind of disrespected. And here they are. Like, you can't forget, Jackson Smith and Jigba was supposed to be a top five pick before his last year and his injury. Mm-hmm. Luther Burden was supposed to be a top five pick before his last year, and he got sabotaged by his own quarterback. So that this is, like we said many weeks ago, very similar to the Alshon Jeffrey pick. Just a guy who we identified as falling for no reason or for all of the worst reasons you could possibly think of. And he fell into our lap again, and man, I am so excited about it. I almost feel a little bit bad for Rome, because we mentioned a bit before the season that maybe Luther is just better as a wide receiver than Rome Odunze. He has that chance. Really feels like Rome got hurt and Luther has come out here and just kind of proven it. So it'll be fun to see if that lights a fire under Rome come the playoffs, when you'd have to think he's coming back.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that, like, we have yet to really see this offense with Rome and Loveland at the height of their powers together. Loveland and Burden at the height, because Rome kind of went, I know he was on the field for a few weeks with both of them as they were starting, but, like, based on when we know Rome got the stress fracture, like, we have not seen Rome 100% at the same time that those guys, because Loveland was injured and was out for a few weeks, and they brought him along slowly. They brought Burden along slowly because he was learning the playbook. We've not seen all of these guys together at the same time, and you have Caleb now in full command of the offense, looking so much more comfortable with his reads, with his timing, with his control at the line of scrimmage. Like, now witness the fire. When that happens, like, now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational Bears offense, man. Like, it's crazy to think we haven't seen everything. We haven't seen the best assortment of players out there yet. And it's wild.
Yeah. All I could think of the last couple of weeks is, man, if I could just replace DJ Moore with Rome Odunze. Wow. Like, this entire thing works so perfectly.
I feel bad for Rome Odunze, because people are like, oh man, Luther might already be the best wide receiver on the team. Yeah, he might, but Rome's not going anywhere. He's still cheap for several years. I'm just like, holy shit, we got both of them.
This is not a bad thing. There is no disrespect to Rome in saying that Luther Burden is probably better.
Well, and they perform such distinctly different. I mean, there is no one on that roster who can truly fill the role that Rome has as a true X. They've got, like, Burden can play some slot and he's an excellent Z. Rome is the X. And so all of that works together. And plus, in the middle, you've got Colston Loveland, who might just fucking be George Kittle. So,
yeah, what do you even say about, I mean, Kyle, for the last couple of weeks, you've mentioned, like, I think he's already a top five tight end. And I was like, I don't know. I don't want to say that just yet. I feel like he just might be. I feel like you're right. I'm in your boat on that one now.
You're ready to take that leap with me? Okay.
I've decided to swim up to your boat and pull myself in. We're in there together now. He is indispensable, like, what is it, blocking, like, and receiving.
He needs to get a little better at the point of attack on run blocking, but he's already a solid, when he's, the few times he's asked to pass block, he's been solid. He's a fairly decent inline blocker. He's beautiful. He's a big
one drop on the year. Unfortunately, it did come in this game.
It was a bad time. Yeah, it's a bad time, but that's okay. Yeah. To quote Cam Newton, we give that grace to young players. So
That's right.
Yeah.
So the offense was fantastic. We almost have nothing to talk about with the run game. Performed admirably during this game. But
the only thing I'll say
best
about the run game is the one play where Kyle Menonkai absolutely has a touchdown. There's only one, there's only one player between him and end zone. Yeah. And it's just like he can't help himself. He's like, I must run into contact. And
he's just a magnet. Yeah.
You can almost feel him like fighting him. He's like, must lay hurting on defensive back, and everyone on the sidelines just like Willie, like, no, just run around.
Him. Literally, he had him on the first juke. He had him. I don't know. He was gone, and then he was like, I'm gonna juke back into him. Like,
I don't know if you've ever watched Bob's Burgers, but look up the clip where he's trying to teach his daughter, I believe her name's Tina, how to drive at a park.
How to drive? Yeah.
And there's only one. That was Kyle, and then she manages to like hit the only in the parking lot with like 30 seconds to turn, and that was Kyle Monongai and the DB on that play. Like, just do anything else and
that's
you probably score a touchdown, but he just
I will say I have really been impressed with Swifty over the season. He's really turned into a totally different dude. His contract has gone from like obviously being cut to where I'm like, kind of a good deal. I want him here.
Swift and Kmet are two guys I wonder if they kind of approach about team-friendly extensions just to lower their cap number and let them do some other stuff. Yeah. But yeah, Swift, I mean, Eric Bieniemy, one of the best hires on this staff. Like, that guy, how many different coaching staffs have had good ones, too? The Lions have a good coaching staff. The Eagles have a good coaching. How many different NFL staffs have had DeAndre Swift and have not been able to get him to make the right reads and to run through contact and to resist the urge to, and he still does it sometimes, but man, he had the last 4 or 5 weeks, I can really only remember like one or two times where I was like, damn it, DeAndre bounced that outside too fast. And that's huge for, cause it used to happen 4 or 5 times a game where I'd get so damn pissed at him. So to see him and running through contact, hard to bring down, that touchdown run he had was just fantastic. The second one, the long one, was just incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Not a play that you see him make earlier in the season. So, yeah, it's just 30 minutes of gushing about the Bears offense. Not something we've been able to do much in our lives, but like, goddamn, I can't get that mad even with what we're about to talk about this defense, because I just, the foundation of this team is what helps you contend year to year in the NFL. And we've always screamed this because we've never tried it. Offense can be consistent year to year. Offense can be stable year to year. And the Bears have a top three offensive mind in the sport. They have a young franchise quarterback. I'll fucking say it. And he's 24, and they have Luther Burden, and they have Colston Loveland, and the pieces are in place on the offensive line. They've got so many young pieces. I have waited forever to be in this position to be talking about this. Cause even the one time we thought the last time we really thought they had a good offense, even, you know, 2013, like, Jay Cutler was already getting up there, and Matt Forte only had a couple years left, and Brandon Marshall was not that young, and Alshon Jeffrey was, you know, that he was like a comet. He burned out pretty quickly, and so they didn't have this kind of core like they have right now. So it's a really cool place to be.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, so much so that I don't have too much to say about the defense, because this is just, the 49ers are coming through like a comet right now. Their offense is completely unstoppable. We got a couple of stops on them, and that was about all we were going to be good for this entire game, I think. And would I like the Bears defense to be better? Sure. Do I think this is indicative of their overall quality? No, I think they're going to be much better against Seattle, against even the Rams, who look pretty weak lately.
Well,
you know,
we've seen that
they're better against a team like Green Bay. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if you told me the Bears are going to lose wild card weekend because they can't get a stop, or if you tell me the Bears are going to play in the Super Bowl, I would believe both of those things to the exact same degree, because like it's their offense can hang with anybody. Their defense will probably let almost any playoff offense hang with them, unless somehow through God's grace, we end up playing Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers. But yeah, it is what it is. And again,
yeah. I mean, what is there to say? Do we want to spend more time harping on how our front four don't get a pass rush at all?
No. Well, I do think Austin Booker made some plays and looks like a guy who, you know, I still don't think he's necessarily a star, but when you think about how raw he was as a prospect and how long edge rushers take to develop, I am still very interested in, and with the time he missed due to the injury, I am still interested in seeing what 2026 Austin Booker looks like. They need to make a move for like a Max Crosby. They need to make a move for like a legit number one DE. But I am still intrigued by Austin Booker's upside. But yeah, I mean, they've got what they've got on the defensive line at this point. You're not going to win with four.
Yeah.
So how much bullshit? I have refrained from criticizing Dennis Allen too much because I understand why he did. I thought some of the zone coverages that they ran against the 49ers were just way too vanilla, way too predictable.
Yeah.
Didn't really feel like they did a good job disguising stuff. So that was the first game where I was truly disappointed in Dennis Allen. But yeah, I mean, the 49ers are not a representative sample either of what you're going to do against a normal NFL offense. So
no, not at all. If we see San Francisco again, look, we came within 4 yards of beating them in this game. Yeah. You know, and you hope that the Bears can pull out a win here, whether it's with Caleb Williams or Tyson Bagent against the backups from the Lions, you know, whatever the hell this game is going to look like.
Oh, right? I think the Bears are absolutely playing the starters, and I think Ben Johnson is going to play for that 2 seed, and I also think he's going to try to get Caleb Williams that 270 yards.
We got to talk about it. I feel like this is more interesting than talking about the defense not being well good there. What do you think the Bears should do? Like, not what do you think Ben is going to do, because I agree. I think Ben is a psychopath. I think there's no question in his mind that he's winning this game against Detroit.
I think you play to win the game.
Okay.
You don't play to just play it. If you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire or get out.
Get on the bus, Kyle. Get on the bus. We're playing the game.
I mean, I don't know. I've never been like, yeah, it's gonna suck if somebody gets injured in this game, but like, I think the benefit of the 2 seed is worth it, man, because if you win I think with the Bears defense being what they are, and I think how much better they have tended to, I feel like they've played better defensively at Soldier Field too. You know, I feel like the benefit of an extra home game is I mean, especially because, like,
but it's only an extra home game against one team, right? It's if the Eagles win their matchup against either the Rams, Seahawks, or 49ers.
Well, I guess to me, the thing that I'm thinking of is like, I don't know. I don't want to go back to Philadelphia. I'd rather bring Jalen Hurts, America's favorite elite quarterback, to Soldier Field.
Well at the link.
He didn't. That's true.
I don't know.
That's true.
I've heard a lot of like positivity.
Playing skirt? So are you playing skirt? Are you wanting to sit the starters? Are you scared?
Okay, so we both know what's going to happen if somebody gets injured in this game, right? Like, we know Ben is going
is this some Derrick Rose trauma? Like, I know you've never psychologically recovered from that. So is that
Derrick Rose trauma is a real thing? It helps that he's a bad person in real life. That got me over it. But hold the memes about Simba on top of him as he clutched his knee. Yes, that absolutely did damage me. It's one of those things where you think, oh, who cares? Like, you don't want to take the week off. You want to keep it rolling. Like, you know, you want your team to be lubricated. You don't want to give them that chance. But yeah, the second you have an injury, and this is a team has guys that can maybe use a second bye week, right? We've got Luther Burden with a lingering injury. Darnell Wright has had injuries throughout the season. Rome Odunze needs another week. I don't think he's going to play either way. And then there is, of course, the horrible looming specter of possibly, you know, having Aiden Hutchinson hitting Caleb Williams, which I don't want to see any more than necessary.
Yeah.
Also, there's a part of me, Kyle, and this is just the silly fucking thing going on in my mind. I think next year, Caleb is going to destroy 4,000 yards. I think he's going to annihilate Kramer's record, and there will be no questions. There will be no doubts. And part of my stupid meatball brain is like, Kramer only got 16 games. Caleb, you already didn't beat him. Like, maybe just don't even do it this year. Just give it to Bajan. Next year, come in and beat him in 16 games.
You're trying to Roger Maris, Caleb Williams?
It's the ape part of my brain that's like, Kramer only had 16 games, Caleb. All right, you didn't do it. You got to do it next year. Do everything next year. Sit down and let Bajan win this game.
Picturing you now like the Babe Ruth fans that like wrote death threats to Maris. Like, you're just that dedicated to Eric fucking Kramer that you're like, you didn't earn this legitimately.
I recognize it's really stupid, but my brain was immediately like,
entertaining me.
It's 16 games, Caleb. You didn't get it. I don't know what to tell you. It's not your fault, but you didn't do it, buddy.
Okay, but the season also used to be 14 games once upon a time. So do all the 16 season records? Yeah, what we really got to do is we got to go back to see if Eric Kramer beat Bill Wade or whatever in 14 games. How far back does this go? I think the season was originally 8 games. What's the Bears 8 game passing? What did Sid Luckman do in 8 games? That's the standard. Everyone else is legitimate.
I know how stupid it is. I know because the thought keeps occurring to me, and I'm like, you're an idiot. Like, shut up, man. But it keeps happening. And that part of my brain is like, dude, Caleb, just do it all next year. All right? Just get 4,500 yards next year. Leave no doubt. I won't have to think about it ever again, man. Well, I will never think of Eric Kramer.
Perfect solution. He throws for 270. He gets the 4K, which will satisfy me.
Yeah.
You will loudly announce that you are putting an asterisk on it, and okay, that it's fake. And Caleb, hears the chatter and gets motivated, will then be absolutely determined to throw for 4,000 yards in 16 games next year, just to spite you.
Everybody, well, we know Caleb's listening to Twitter's favorite Bears podcast. So
how could he not? I mean, how could you, if you have your ear to, if you have your finger to the pulse of Bears Nation, which I assume our lovely franchise quarterback does, then you would know about Bears Twitter's favorite podcast. So
that's right. Of course. Yeah.
We stood 10 toes down defending our boy back in September and October when there was panic in the streets. So, you know, there was a little panic after the Vikings game. Don't go back and listen to that one. But otherwise, we did pretty good. So I feel if you're grading on a curve compared to the rest of Bears Twitter. So how do you think Ty Dunn's doing these days, Travis? Do you think
I've seen a lot of people making fun of him. So I bet he doesn't care, since this is what happens to everyone he writes an article about.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, I mean, the man spite-fueled 2 Aaron Rodgers MVPs. He launched the Bills all the way to the the AFC Championship game last year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, pretty impressive stuff on his part.
He is such an unbelievable hack. And nothing will ever happen to him, because right now, especially in America, we live in a society that accepts hacks.
Well, and he doesn't work for it. That's the decline of traditional media, legacy media, and the rise of Substack has had disastrous consequences for the human race. Because here he is, all he got to do is just run a couple salacious pieces a year. He gets his subscriptions, and then he coasts off of shit like that. And he doesn't care that everyone's dunking on him, because that means you read it.
Yep.
But guess what, Ty? I fucking stole it anyways, so you didn't get a dime from me, asswipe.
That's right. I saw it on a Google Doc, you son of a bitch. And then I actually read Pat's wonderful little romance-inspired write-up on Bear Weather Fans, right? That was a lot better. He got
Read Pat's version, but I do think the best idea that you've had for this offseason is a dramatic reading of the Ty Dunn article.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I want to do it like a table read, like we'll do it in scenes, like I want to dramatize it into scripts, and I want to play the role of Ryan Poles laughing at Drake May's film, but I'm going to do it, like, for whatever reason, like he has Brad Pitt's weird accent as Billy Bean in Moneyball. That's how
fantastic.
I'm going to do that. We'll do that. We'll talk about that.
We're going to set up characters. We'll highlight everything. We'll have it all mapped out beforehand. Fuck Ty Dunn. Oh my gosh. This season has been so nice. Specifically for that reason, but I can't believe that he keeps guaranteeing good seasons for the people he tries to flame.
Yeah. Well, shit, man. Right. I feel like we kind of wrapped up the Bears stuff early almost. We got 20 minutes left up in here. Happy times on the Scott. I just want to say, I'll get authentic for a moment here.
Yeah.
It has been so nice for the first in the 3 seasons we've been doing this revive to just, like, it's December. We've been engaged every week. We've been on time every week. We have had shit to the Bears to talk about. I'm not doing mock drafts, so I've had people ask me what I think of college quarterbacks this year, and I'm like, was something that I started, especially in 2023. I started the spreadsheet in November, in October that year or whatever, because I was like, I already know that the Bears need to take one of these quarterbacks. I got to figure out which one I'm going to ride for. Last year, I did it mostly out of boredom because the Bears were so non-competitive by the end. So I haven't touched the spreadsheet, folks. That is a January problem. Maybe February.
February problem. So it's been the same thing. Yeah. People have been asking, you know, hey, what do you think about this guy? Who's available in the draft? You know, people start talking defensive linemen and left tackles. And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable saying anything about these guys. Well,
especially because they keep fucking moving the draft back. That shit's in May now.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of time.
We got time.
To look into that. And we'll give you the usual excellent Skycast draft coverage. And I feel like after a somewhat spotty 2024, we look as good on the 2025 draft as we did in 2023. So, you know, like Meatloaf says, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So,
damn right. Damn right. Okay, Kyle, I had a question for you that's going to eat up some time here at the end of the Skodcast.
Okay.
I want to know, now that we're locked into the playoffs, we know who we're going to play in the first round. There's a group of teams that we could possibly play, right? Most likely it'll be Green Bay, could be one of the NFC West teams. What I want to know from you is,
who do I want?
Not who is the best team in the NFC, but I want you to rank these teams based on matchups against the Bears. Who do you most want to see? And who do you least want to see? Now, I'm guessing that most from both of us is the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, if there was any way the Bears could, which obviously wouldn't happen, if the Bears could play the Panthers, I'll take that, certainly. What a great way to put the punctuation mark on that trade, wouldn't that be? You said your stupid thing. My stupid thing is...
Yes.
I think the best matchup at this point in their weakened state for the Bears... of the realistic options is the Packers. Like, I feel like that's the, but dangerous. Psychologically, the only way for this season to leave any kind of bad taste in my mouth at this point would be if they fuck up and lose that game. So part of me is like, I would rather, even if it means almost that they lose game, I'm almost like, I don't know. I could handle just losing a shootout with the Rams round one. Yeah. That wouldn't hurt me none. I'd be like, hey, you know, you win some, you lose some. Sean McVay, what can you do? But if they lost to the Packers, I'd be like, fuck, man, they found the one way to fuck up the good vibes just a little bit. I'd recover. Yeah. It wouldn't forever.
It's been funny to watch both Bears and Packers fans say, I don't want to play that team because I don't want to lose.
Oh, everyone knows that will be the shit talk Olympics. Like, whoever comes out of that game will be insufferably smug for the next 9 months after that. Because, sure. I mean, either we
I think Green Bay wants the Eagles. They want to go down in Philadelphia and be like, just forget we were ever here.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. If we win and we mushroom stamp the Packers forever, put the punctuation mark that, like, we have, in fact, taken the North, and it remains a question of whether we'll give it back. What?
Such a gross thing to say. I hate it so much. Mushrooms.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to shock you. I didn't know you were such a But then if we lose, I mean, the Packers will be like, well, that division title doesn't mean anything. We won in the playoffs, so we are the true kings of the North. And I'll be like, fuck, I'd be saying the same thing in their position.
That's right. So, we would do the exact same thing.
So, yeah. Nothing would feel better than beating them in the playoffs, but nothing would feel worse than losing. So, you know.
So you're saying you think that's the best team we could play, but also you really don't want to play them.
Yeah. And otherwise, I think, you know, if we're getting them at home, I'd take my chances with the 49 or with the Seahawks, because.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like we can score on any defense at this point. The Bears can block shit up and Caleb will avoid your pass rushers. And I just until I am given a reason to trust Sam Darnold on the road in a playoff game, I'm not gonna. So he has not played his best ball the last four or five weeks at all. So
completely agree. I think the draw that I want is also the Seahawks. Just like you said, I'm not really worried about the offense. I think we'll score at least enough. But Seattle specifically does not attack our weakness. They can't run the ball. That's been their biggest issue all season. And Sam Darnold is a whatever else he is,
and then the 49ers,
turnover,
you know,
prone quarterback, and we can deal with that.
And the 49ers, you know, we just ran that one, and if we played it at home, you'd hope that would be the difference maker, but at the same time, you know, either way, I'd say that's a complete toss-up, and I'll live with that, so.
I would be shocked if they are not the one seed at this point. I would be stunned if they didn't beat Seattle next week.
Yeah.
Nice for us.
Is that game in San Francisco?
It's in San Francisco, yep.
Okay.
Same place, so.
That'll be interesting to see, yeah.
Yeah, we should. Do you know this is only 45 minutes, but we're in a good mood. What else do you got?
Shit, yeah. Well,
do you want to talk about Malik Willis and how he looked great?
Malik
and
Willis
is not going to be a Packer next year, so it's fine to be happy about that.
Yeah, no, I it's really funny because I was watching, sorry to my Panthers fans friends that just love me today. I was watching the Panthers and I was like, man, Malik Willis would look really good in its offense. Yeah. And I was watching the Dolphins and I was like, man, Malik Willis would look really good in this offense. And then I was watching the Falcons and I was like, you know, Malik Willis would look really good. Can you imagine Bijan and Malik Willis in the same backfield? They'd kick so much ass. Now I don't know what I don't know if the Falcons would be able to throw the white flag on Michael Penix already. I don't know with that, but like, yeah, there's just, if you are a team in the QB Derby this year, and there's a lot of them, and there's only two quarterbacks likely to have anything resembling a first round grade, in my opinion, in this draft. And so if you don't hold pick one or pick two, and you need a quarterback, you should absolutely be thinking about Malik Willis at this point. And yeah, I do think outside of the LaFleur ecosystem, outside of the Packers offensive line and protection scheme, I do think, you know, he did manage to take a dumb sack against the Bears. He managed to take a dumb sack against Baltimore. I think dumb sacks will always be a little bit of part of his game, but he's so explosive. And that deep ball, you know, and that's what that people, I guess, like you said, people were surprised Malik Willis has such a nice deep ball, but I'm pretty sure, I'd have to double check. I think in the spreadsheet, he was by far the number one guy. Well, second all time, I believe, in ADOT behind Josh Allen. Like, I think his average pass in college was like 12 and a half yards. Like, that, he could always fucking air it out.
Yeah.
Like,
most Malik Willis college tape was just him looking downfield and winding up to rip the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely a Mickey Mouse offense, which is why he was totally unprepared to come to the NFL. It did not. But, I mean, he's had two seasons to cook in the LaFleur lab. He definitely seems to have a much greater and more nuanced understanding of pro quarterbacking than he did in Tennessee. So it's pretty tough to imagine. I guess, you know, the Titans, they've got Cam Ward, and I, like you and I were just talking before we started recording, I feel like he's looked really good lately. You know, I was a little worried about Cam earlier in the season. I talked about that, and I was like, man, nobody's talking about this. It turns out the reason nobody was talking about it is because, you know what, he was fine. Because, last time we checked in on Cam Ward, I was like, I don't know, man, he's having the Josh Rosen rookie season, and I just looked it up before we started recording. I was like, he's currently now having the Trevor Lawrence rookie season, where it's like, okay, you clearly are a talented guy, just in a completely shit situation. So, yeah, I mean, but Titans fans, still, you got to think, like, man, there's an alternate world where we still have Vrabel, we still have Derrick Henry, and we still have Malik Willis.
Yeah.
And probably things look a lot better. But we let stupid power struggles run, you know, the likely coach of the year out of the building.
Well, and if Vrabel is still there, that probably means A.J. Brown never got traded either, right? So the Titans are, like, really loaded because they didn't sell everybody for no reason, give up on Malik Willis too early. The A.J. Brown trade didn't cause Ryan Tannehill to go downhill, throwing in Malik Willis way too early. It's a whole cascade effect, but yeah, I agree. Cam Ward has looked pretty good the last three or four games, and that's good. That's good. He's moved himself out of that, like, generational bus category. Well, and it's like normal bad first year for a first-round guy.
With rookie seasons, that's all I ever ask of a guy, and I've said that a million times. Like, we have seen so many guys overcome bad rookie seasons, and by bad rookie seasons I just mean like regular bad for an NFL rookie. The default assumption should be rookie quarterbacks are bad. The question is, if you are significantly underperforming the average rookie quarterback, then you usually get into some dicey territory. And so, you know, for the first 6 weeks or so, Cam was solidly, like I said, in that Josh Rosen production, and I was like, ah, shit, if he doesn't turn this around fast. But he did turn it around fast, so very exciting to see there. And he's got all the arm talent in the world. I will say, I think when we did our draft episode, I said I didn't think his arm was that great. That was a mistake. He's got a fucking cannon. I feel like the way Miami's offense was structured, he didn't really get to show off the just the intermediate arm talent that he has, the way he can really spin that thing in that, you know, 10 to or in that 20 to 30 yard window like he has in the NFL. And in Miami, it was a lot of
spin that thing and put a mushroom stamp on it.
But it feel like Miami was, you know, it was a lot of four verts and all that, a lot of lollipops downfield. Yeah. So no, I underrated his arm talent for sure. He's been really exciting to watch. Tyler Shuck, has been.
I don't think he looks. I think you think he looks better than I do.
I mean, I don't.
I refuse to believe in Tyler Shuck.
Well, and here's where I'll say this. The problem with Tyler Shuck is the age, and it's one of those things where it's like he's had some nice moments, and part of it is that I think, for one, and you and I have argued about him before, I think, too. I've always been a Kellen Moore fan. I have always thought he's significantly underrated as an NFL play caller by a lot of people. He's done a great job working around Rattler's limitations earlier in the year. He's done a great job of maximizing Shuck.
Notably, the reason my opinion of him took a dive is because he worked with Herbie and did not do so well.
That was just such a lost season in San
Diego. Very weird season. And then he left. He did way better working around Jalen Hurts and his limitations, it felt like. So I don't know what that was.
But I think the problem with Shuck is, again, it's one of those things where, like, he looks really impressive right now for a rookie, but he is not the age of a normal rookie. And so this is the same thing we said with Bo Nix last year. It's like, if this is an impressive rookie year, if you were a normal rookie, but it's also likely that this is as good as you're ever going to get. You just came microwave ready, as our buddy Robert Schmitz always says. And, if this is just who you are, then, you know, by the middle of next year, everyone's like, okay, is this really all you've got? You're fine. So did you have anything more in there? You know, you end up in the Gardner Minshew territory. But so far, I have been – I thought he was going to be ass. To be honest. So he has exceeded my expectations there. Whether that will actually translate into an above average NFL starting quarterback over the long term, I don't know, but worth watching. I think he's at least played well enough that in this draft class and where the Saints are going to be picking, I don't think you consider trying to find a quarterback in this draft. You know,
that is my dream for Malik Willis, that team there in New Orleans.
I just don't think that defense
with Chris Olave on that team, like, it would be fun with Kellen Moore and what you saw he could do with Jalen Hurts. Imagine what he could do with Malik and what he's got. But you're probably right. They're probably going to roll with Shuck. I think that's unfortunate for Kellen. I think the way I put it earlier today was, I think it sucks that Kellen Moore is so good that he's going to make Tyler Shuck look just good enough to get him about 3 years and fired off the Saints. So. Sorry about that, Kellen. I think you're pretty great. It'll be nice to have you as an offensive coordinator somewhere again in the future because of what you've done to yourself. A lot of guys are doing that to themselves these days. Not the Bears, though. Caleb Williams, obviously elite. You said this wasn't the game where Caleb Williams, to wrap it back around to the beginning before we end it.
To put our mushroom stamp on this episode.
We're going to mushroom stamp this episode to the end.
Yeah.
You said this wasn't Caleb's coming out party, and I agree. I think if you see his coming out party as anywhere beyond the Steelers game, I think you are a born hater, and I don't know what Caleb has to do to impress you. So if it was this game,
I think it was the latest was the Giants game, but I was impressed with him. I think
You got to say the Bengals game at least, right? Bengals game was awesome.
I feel like there was one before that, but
he's been fantastic. But this felt like the game. He put everything together. He had every throw out there. He even hit that little crosser over the middle to Colston Loveland. Beautiful, perfect throw, right to where it needed to be on Loveland's hands. A pass that he had trouble with earlier in the season with the timing and with the ball placement, and he just nailed it perfectly here. This felt like the Caleb Williams has the ceiling we thought he did game. The one, this is the game that we'll remember as proving to us that, like, this guy is a franchise quarterback level of guy. So I guess if there are any more haters out there, I don't know what you want. I guess the answer is completion percentage, because all you're doing is, you know, watching stats on PFR and you aren't actually watching the Bears play football, but. For me, at least, I would say Caleb is the dude going forward and has a chance at being, I guess, the dudeliest dude of all time. Do you have anything else to say, Kyle, as you, oh my God, with a flourish, you tapped on that phone. What was that? Did you send a message with that kind of flourish?
My wife asked if she could have a snack. After we're done recording, and
did you type in "fuck no" and just slap the send button, or
no? I made a salacious joke.
It wasn't about
mushroom stamping though.
Did you say you would bring her a mushroom?
I didn't offer a mushroom stamp. No, but
Fantastic. All right. Well, I don't, you know, I feel like next week we're going to have almost less to talk about, because what is this game coming up, this big nothing burger? At least we'll know where we're going to be and who we're going to play.
We'll know that, and I swear to God, man, if Caleb gets 270, I'll make whether you want to celebrate it or not, whether you want to Roger Maris it, we'll call it the 4K special, and I will rack up $4,000 in credit card debt. I'll do something in honor of this man breaking. Yeah,
you 4K. Folks can't I'll see it because we don't so. We don't put the video portion of this up on YouTube or anything. Not until Kyle gets a fucking camera and a microphone at some point, then we'll put it up on YouTube and you can see his beautiful face and all of its 4K damn glory.
You can see the cats.
But I will put a giant asterisk behind me just for until Caleb does it, you know, the right
mush
way. The right
mushroom stamp that asterisk behind him.
That's right. I will mushroom stamp an asterisk right here next to the beautiful artwork of my four cats that my wife made up there. That's where it's going to go. That's the asterisk. All right. Hell yeah. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
See you next week. Way out on that bumper's road. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago. And people I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.